Are you looking for a simple, easy, yet healthy and delicious recipe for your cool summer nights?
Well, we've got you covered this morning as G and Olive share the perfect recipe to enjoy alone or with company.
Plus, we have much more to keep you motivated through your day.
Stay with us.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, we're delighted to be starting our Monday morning with you. And we're thrilled that you have chosen to start off your week with the hope of Jesus.
Absolutely. And did you know that today is one of my favorite days? Because it's National Lasagna Day.
Yes.
So get out there and enjoy some tasty lasagna, vegetables, spinach, dairy-free. You can make lasagna in so many different ways. And who doesn't like a good lasagna? Well, now enjoy a nice lasagna dinner or lunch with your loved one today.
Oh, sounds great. You know, we can't wait to start out our program with you this morning and share with you the fire that burns within our own hearts. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1958, the U.S. Congress established NASA to coordinate America's space activities. Since then, NASA has sponsored human and robotic space missions, launched satellites for weather forecasting, navigation, and global communications, and provided crucial information about the solar system and the universe.
You know, friends, NASA's job is basically to venture into the unknown and uncover the mysteries of the universe. And just as NASA seeks to uncover the mysteries of the vast universe, we are called to explore the depths of God's love and purpose for our lives. You know, God calls us to step out in faith, to walk with Him and trust that His plan for us is greater than what we could ever imagine. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, it encourages us to call on God as it says,
"Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know."
Beautiful. You know, today, call on God. Call on your Heavenly Father. He longs to offer us direction and wisdom. Keep seeking, keep believing, and trust that God's love and purpose for your life are more profound than the vastness of the universe.
Amen. Amen. Well, it is now time to go into the kitchen with G and Olive as they teach us to make something that is both healthy and delicious, energy boosting, and perfect for a cool summer evening, lentil stew.
We are going to show you an easy recipe. If it's a cold night and you get home, I love this recipe because it's so easy. And you're like, what am I going to cook for the family, or what am I going to eat? Now, this recipe is from a friend of mine, Lenora. We love sharing recipes together, and she's awesome when it comes to recipes. She's so good. They're easy. This one is a pot. I've got a pot on here, and in this pot, I have 1 liter of water, so 4 cups of water. And you just throw everything in it, and you just cook it until it's ready. So what the recipe calls for is potato, carrot, celery, onion. Oh, don't eat all the carrot. That's all it is. Potato, carrot, celery, onion. So you throw that in there. So they're your veggies. It's such a hearty soup and a stew, and it is so healthy. And then lentils. So it's a lentil stew. So just the lentils, put the lentils in there. Then we'll put the seasoning in. Just a second, because Moses wants to have a look. Can you see? Now for the seasoning. Okay, so for the seasoning, I'm going to use some curry powder, some really nice Himalayan salt, a vegetable stock cube, and just
a bay leaf.
Very good. It's a leaf. It's a bay leaf. Can you say bay leaf?
Bay leaf.
Bay leaf. And you throw all that in there, and there it's finished. That's it. So now all I'm going to do is cook it. So I cook it on a medium heat. Once it starts boiling quite a bit, I lower the heat a touch, and then I just cook until the lentils and everything's soft and it's done. And I'm going to show you what that looks like in just a second. So we've been cooking this for about 35 minutes to 40 minutes. Look how good this stew looks. Now, the good thing with this recipe, and I love Lenora's recipes because she uses them for several things. She adds some breadcrumbs and a few other things to this and then puts it and makes sausage roll, puts some pastry down, and she makes sausage rolls and puts them in the freezer with any leftovers. So you can double the recipe if you like, and then use half of the recipe to make sausage rolls for another dinner and put it in the freezer, and then use this for your delicious stew. Look at that. Yeah, and you know what we put in it? We put some bread in it, and we put some fresh lemon juice, some fresh lemon juice. It is lemon season. My friends have so many on their trees, and they've been sharing the love. So there you have it, your stew. You can add some nice olives on the side. So enjoy it, make it, and let us know what you think. Say bye.
Dr. Nerida McKibben is back with more health news this morning.
In the headlines today, dementia prevention should start early in life. Increased sleep, decreased appetite, and emergency departments go to the dogs. The Journal of the American Medical Association Psychiatry published an analysis of the correlation between mental health disorders in young to middle-aged adults and dementia in later life. The study examined the health of 1.7 million New Zealanders over a 30-year period and found that those with a psychiatric condition were more than four times more likely to develop dementia in later life and to develop it 5 years earlier than the general population. This elevated risk applied to both men and women for different types of dementia and for a wide range of psychiatric disorders and self-harm behaviours. Researchers suggest that effective prevention and treatment of mental health disorders in early life may reduce the risk of cognitive decline later in life and extend the quality of life in old age. And who wouldn't want all of that? So please seek help early if you know you need it. One answer to obesity may be as simple as getting enough sleep, according to recent research. A group of 80 people were studied who slept on average 6.5 hours per night, which is less than the recommended 7 to 9 hours. Half the group received counselling to help them increase their sleep to 8.5 hours a night. The others received no intervention, and all study participants were free to continue their usual diet and exercise habits. The group that received counselling increased their sleep by an average of 1.2 hours per night. The most interesting finding was the more sleep they got, the fewer calories they consumed. So if you're overweight and habitually go short on sleep, here's another key to obesity prevention and weight loss. Therapy dogs can help relieve pain in the emergency room, according to a new study published by the Public Library of Science. Anxiety has been linked to increased discomfort and pain in the acute setting, as it heightens our senses and perceptions and makes us prone to feeling higher levels of pain. Therapy dogs and handlers often visit patients in public health settings, including the emergency room, and these visits have been shown to significantly reduce feelings of stress, anxiety, depression, and loneliness, and give an increased sense of well-being, thereby relieving pain. So consider a dog before drugs to ease your discomfort. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
If you're enjoying today's show, share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or rewatch any segment. And search for us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us.
We have to take a quick break now, friends, but when we return, we'll have music. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. You know, we believe our program will be a lovely way to start your week.
Sivasa Laupati and Jacqueline Jewell join us this morning in song as they sing, Come Unto Me.
Sister, I see the hurt in your eyes. When he took your love and walked away, and I know how feel the crumbling inside. You're feeling hopeless, like there's no escape. Well, I have a friend named Jesus, who has walked along the tracks of your tears. He's promised rest for you. He said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now let not your heart be troubled. He said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Give it all to God for these things that I have spoken unto you.
When we return, our friends from Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a devotional message. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us. It's time for our devotional thought now, brought to us by our friends at Voice of Prophecy.
You've heard the story of the Good Samaritan, right? But you might not spend a lot of time thinking about it. I mean, it's so familiar. But like each of Jesus' parables, there are layers of meaning. These layers go beyond the simple versions we learn when we're young or that we teach our children. And so let's revisit the story. It's found in Luke chapter 10, and let's read it together. It says, a certain lawyer asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered, and he told a story. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he, the lawyer, said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." You know, the man in Jesus' story, he traveled from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jesus' listeners knew about this road. It was well traveled and well known for being dangerous. The road was rocky and steep. It was a known hiding place for thieves. And the red-tinged rocks and the dangerous atmosphere of this road, well, both influenced one name for it, Udumim, the Pass of Blood. Well, on this road between Jericho and Jerusalem, our traveler met danger. The robbers stripped him of his clothing, robbed and beat him, and left him half dead, his skin covered in blood. They stripped him of his identity. It was true then, and it's true today. Our clothing identifies us, doesn't it? Our clothing says a lot about our personality, our culture, even our economic and social standings. Our clothing identifies us. It tells others a story about who we are. The robbers left this man without his identifiable clothing. He was also not recognizable in the other way that we readily identify each other, by our speech. Left half dead, the traveler could do little more than groan. His language or accent didn't identify him. Well, the injured traveler was any man, any person. So who is my neighbor? Anyone. Our neighbor is not defined by culture, faith, race, or economic or social standing. Our neighbor is every other human being. Now, the first to approach was a priest in Jesus' story. The road between Jericho and Jerusalem was well traveled by those who served in the temple. The priest was likely returning home from doing just that. He had a high calling to serve God. And yet, as he passed the injured traveler, he didn't even slow down to consider his fellow man's situation or need. Did the priest believe that the man was dead? Was he therefore thinking about the fact that touching a dead body would make him unclean? And if he were unclean, he couldn't serve in the temple and that would mess up the work schedule. Well, those things would have been true, but that wasn't the point of Jesus' story. Well, next, another worker in God's vineyard passed, a Levite. He slowed down slightly to observe the injured traveler, but he didn't stop. He kept walking. The priest and the Levite were workers for God. They had been called by him and served in God's house, in the temple, served his people. They did great and good things for God's cause. And yet, during their ordinary travels on the road home from this great service in God's house, they failed. Now, many of us have been called by God, called to do great and good things. And yet we too can fail in the practical application of that calling in the daily, seemingly small things. God wants great and small things from each of his followers. Well, next was the Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans were the sworn enemies of the Jews, and traveling along the road so often traveled by his enemies, the Samaritan could have assumed that the unidentifiable man was his enemy. He could have kept riding, and yet he didn't. The Samaritan stopped. He responded with compassion, doing the job the priest or the Levite should have done. He put the injured man on his own donkey. Then he traveled into Jericho. The injured traveler was stripped of his cultural identity, but the Samaritan was not. Entering Jericho, he was conspicuous. He was easily identified as an enemy. Yet he continued, and he approached an inn. And surrounded by Jewish people, this outsider helped the injured traveler. His compassion overcame his self-preservation instincts. The Samaritan displayed the practical love that the priest and the Levite failed to show. He was the neighbor. He showed mercy. Who is my neighbor? Every human. And how are we their neighbor? Well, we show mercy and love in the small day-to-day circumstances of our lives. And there's another layer in this story. You see, we too are that injured traveler. We live in a world stripped of what it was designed to be and marred by sin. We are injured and weak, unable to rise of our own strength. And Jesus traveled this rocky, treacherous world to help us. Jesus lifts us up and cares for our wounds. And through his death on the cross, he covers our nakedness. And just as the Samaritan promised to return to check on the traveler, Jesus too, of course, he promises to return soon to be with us. Jesus is fully and eternally invested in each of us. Well, a familiar story, a welcome reminder of how we can serve one another and of the ultimate neighbor, Jesus himself. Hope Channel family, let's pray together this Monday morning. Dear Lord, as we go about our day, Father, show us the injured travelers around us. Give us eyes to see and help them to show mercy. And Lord, we each personally need your help too. Thank you for being available whenever we need you, even when we're too weak to call out to you. Lord, go with us, we pray. Amen. Who is your neighbor? The person sitting or standing right next to you is. We each are neighbors one to another. And so this week, whether God invites you to preach a soul-stirring sermon or he asks you to bring soup to a grieving neighbor, remember, each is a great and good work that he has called you to. While we at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day. Thank you for starting your Monday morning with us. And whatever this new week has in store for you, you can have hope in the midst of it. Invite God to go with you every step of the way. Thanks for joining us for a few minutes in God's Word, Words of Hope.
Thank you for blessing us this morning.
And friends, thank you so much for being with us and watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend, visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we invite you to join us tomorrow morning. Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We'll have a dedicated prayer session, parenting tips from the parenting place, and tips to make your child a winner from the incredible journey. Make sure to join us.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study.
And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's Bible promise comes from Romans chapter 15, verse 7.
It says, therefore, accept each other, just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory.
You know, most of us struggle or have struggled at some point with acceptance. But what a beautiful thing to know that in Christ, God has accepted us. Friend, you are accepted. I am accepted. We are accepted. You know, it's a beautiful promise, and we hope that you were blessed by today's program as we looked at the character of Jesus and how beautiful he is.
Amen. Let's pray together, friends.
Father in heaven, we're so thankful because you are the greatest joy that we could ever have in our hearts. And today, Lord, we truly want to embrace the promise that we belong, we are accepted, we are loved. And I pray, Lord, that this promise would remain in our hearts continuously, not only today, but every day of our life until we see your face. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.